We are talking about music, God's use of music, 2 Kings 3:15, but now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. God has given us, I have an extended introduction here before I actually get to the message, so let me just work through this. God has given us music for His good pleasure, for His purposes. God intends to use it for His purposes, therefore we ought to intend to use it for godly purposes. As with Elisha in our text, music has been associated with other prophets. I'm not sure if you recognize that. Reading through the scriptures, sometimes we don't put all of this together. When Samuel took Saul aside, actually Saul was looking for his lost donkeys, I think it was. Couldn't find them. He said, well, let's go ask a holy man, a seer, prophet. And he says, see if you can find out where my donkeys are. He says, don't worry about your donkeys. They've been found. But I've been waiting for you. Waiting for me, I just decided to come see you. It's all planned of God. And he anointed him as the first king of Israel. Well, he says, now I want to tell you what's going to happen. And he told him that he would meet with a band of prophets. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 5. Samuel speaking to Saul. Thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, that's stringed instrument of some kind, a tabret, tambourine, a pipe, probably a flute, and harp, a lyre, if you've, L-Y-R-E, if you've seen those, a handheld harp, before them, and they shall prophesy. We would say, look, it's a Salvation Army people, you know. But it was musical instruments all the way through. They were playing. They were perhaps singing, and they were ready to prophesy. At a time when God was delivering the world from the ritual and the corruption and the falsehood of the Roman Catholic Church, Martin Luther, God spoke to him, and interestingly, he felt music was absolutely essential in this work. Martin Luther said this, music is the art of the prophets, the only art that can calm the agitations of the soul. It is one of the most magnificent and delightful presents God has given to us. In many cases, people have said that that music and that the Reformation was sung into the hearts of the people. I checked in our hymnal. I was trying to see how many of those who wrote the songs were preachers. I only got through the A's. I saw that was going to take me forever. But here's what I found. Alfred Henry Ackley, 1887 to 1960, Presbyterian minister. He wrote He Lives, hymn number 268. James Waddell Alexander, 1804 to 1859, again a Presbyterian preacher, wrote 241, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. Henry Alford, Brother Jeb, I didn't realize his name was Henry. I always thought it was Dean, but Dean was his office, Dean Alford. 1810-1871, a New Testament Greek scholar, preacher, wrote 493, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. Here's a, you know, dusty old Greek scholar, and he writes these songs that we sing. Cyril Allington, 1872-1955, chaplain to King George V, wrote 272, Good Christians Now Rejoice and Sing. Henry Francis Lyle, 1793-1847, Scottish preacher, wrote 29, Praise My Soul, the King of Heavens. And George Atkins, died in 1827, nobody was sure of his birth, was a Methodist pastor. He wrote 67, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. You cannot sing that with understanding without hearing the heart of compassion for those that are lost in the midst of that song. So, Martin Luther said, it's the art of the prophet. Those who were involved in communicating the Word of God felt that it was a part of their business to write the songs that would perpetuate the intense feeling of the truth. I think that the reason for this association between the preaching of the word and the singing of the hymns is made clear when David was asked to play for the older King Saul, who was being oppressed by an evil or a harmful spirit. And it says in 1 Samuel 16:23, it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul, notice three results, was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. A little word study here, the three results, refreshed is literally to breathe easily, be relieved. It is in the form of a completed action. He was completely refreshed. That's the physical response to the music. Well means literally to be glad, to be joyful, to be better. Completed action, that's the mental response. He felt better. And then the evil spirit departed, harmful spirit removed. That's again completed action. Here's the spiritual response. We need to recognize, in fact, then, that music has been given to us to affect us in the way of physical, mental, and spiritual response. Singing is connected to being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. To sing a psalm is to sing the words of Scripture. The hymns generally refer to the hymns of praise. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Those are hymns. The spiritual songs are the others, very often a testimony. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, telling the story of my life. So all the various forms, singing and making melody in your heart, even if you can't do it properly, out of your mouth. Singing is also connected to peace in the heart. In Colossians 3, 15 and 16, let the peace of God rule, dominate in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body. He says you've been called to this peacefulness. So let it rule and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in. Here's the mental part, you see, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We need to understand then that music gives us an opportunity not just to kick back and enjoy the music. There's nothing wrong with that. My wife and I listen to lots of different kinds of music. We are, I suppose, rather restrictive in that, but we're open to a lot more than just Christian music. We listen to classical a lot. We hear, my wife plays, gets on her phone the Moody station on Christian music. So we like big band music. After church on Sundays, we listen to the German hour, German music. A lot of accordions and tubas going, but just kind of fun music. So music is good for just enjoyment, relaxing, but it serves also a greater goal and should be used the way God uses it. So let me address, first of all, to the Christian, allow godly music to calm your heart before God. Our text shows us the perfect example of that. We can learn from Elisha. I put the passage up, take the time to kind of scroll through it there. But let me just announce the story, and that is, knock on the door, three kings stand in front of Elisha, who had served Elijah very faithfully. The person who was the great confrontation of Elijah was Ahab and his miserable wife Jezebel. To this day, a woman who is called Jezebel is considered a horrible person. They actively tried to subvert all Jehovah worship out of Israel, and seemed to be succeeding. But God moved upon Elijah. Drought came for 3.5 years. That's a long time. You think about it. Water was drying up everywhere. And then he challenged them to see who would send fire from heaven. The Baal worshipers came up empty because Baal wasn't there. He doesn't exist. So they were calling upon an imaginary God, and he didn't answer. Elijah called upon the true God, and fire came. And with that, and the approval of the people, those false prophets, the prophets of Baal, were killed by the sword right then and there. And then Jezebel said, I'm going to get you for this. And Elijah, right after this great victory of up on the mountaintop, goes running off into the hills, afraid for his life, saying, I've done enough. Let God just take my life. Elisha followed him and, dare I say, took up something of that offense, recognizing what an enemy of God was Ahab and his wife. And now the spawn of Ahab and Jezebel comes to his door blaming God. It's God's fault. We don't have the rain. Why do you think that? If you don't worship him, you know, shouldn't he keep the rain from you? Speaking of water, you know, rain, 3.5 years. Elisha was on hand when Elijah was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. And to see him just aggravated the daylights out of Elisha. He has no good word to say. How dare you show up at my door? He was in no, can I say it, he was in no mood to talk to God. He just shook him up. Here was an enemy of God coming and asking for God's help. Figures. And he says, I'll tell you this. If it weren't for godly King Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even see you. So now he's going to ask God to help, but he can't do that, feeling like he does, rattled like he is, angry as he is. Those things aren't compatible. So he says, call me a minstrel. They all said, okay, you're a minstrel. No. They bring somebody in, and it says that the minstrel played. I wanted to share with you that the Strong's definition of the word played here, the Hebrew word in verse 15, means particularly to play or strike strings, to play a stringed instrument. Now, this doesn't preclude singing, but that's not stated. I think it's important to recognize there is an effect of music beyond the words of the song. We understand this. companies spend millions of dollars for their department store to have just the right music they've proven it over and over again, cause you to buy more. Somebody said that the raucous music at your greasy spoon probably causes as much indigestion as does the greasy spoon food. My office at Hardee's, I went in there and they had the music on too loud. You know, I go there to read and write and think and so on. And I told him, could you turn it down? I didn't come here to dance today. You know, could you just turn that down a little bit? It's intrusive. And there's no good music that they're playing in these modern things. It's whiny and crying and lustful and just not even good melodic music. So when we think of what God allowed, there's a vast array of musical instruments used in the temple worship. It indicates that the purpose was in the melodies themselves, not in the words alone. Although God inspired the words in the book of Psalms, without adding the music in, music changes with the cultures, and not everything would be appropriate to us that was appropriate to them. But within our culture, there is good and there's bad music. The rhythmic beat in music, and that it's a part of music, it needs to be there, but the rhythmic beat speaks to the physical, just as we have a life beat in our heart. The beat speaks to the physical. The harmonies speak to the intellect, and the melody speaks to the spirit. By emphasizing one over the other, when they're all in perfect blend, you have lovely music. But if you emphasize one over the other, a piece of music will affect people differently. What if I ask you to bow at the time of the invitation, and the music was the theme from Jaws? Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. And you're saying, maybe I better get saved quick. It's coming, it's coming. It wouldn't be appropriate, you see. If I say, all right, let's meditate on the Word of God. And then the brass band plays a Sousa march. Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum. You know, it's not meditating music. It's music, the rhythm, get your feet tapping. Music can be appropriate in and of itself or not appropriate. And so rock and roll, the very title was a sexual suggestion. It appeals to the sensual. Classical appeals to the intellect. It's mostly about the harmonies. And the sweet hymns sung, emphasizing the melody, speaks to the spirit. So let us, as a Christian, adopt music. I thought it was interesting, two examples. When Dr. Kopp first got saved, he was all about learning the truth. Let's find out the truth. Let's get to. And why are they wasting so much time with singing? Standing up, singing, sitting down, all this stuff. And in growth, he came to the place where he became a student. He was never able to actually get into the performance part of music. But he would learn it and come and tell us about the histories of the hymns and emphasized it with his children. All of his children learned to play beautifully and even write some music. Jeb Porter kind of resisted music and said, I don't listen to music and all that kind of stuff. And now one of the things he does at home, opens up the hymnal, teaches his children the songs, they sing it together as a family. Why? Because God teaches us his use of music, and we find it's too valuable to let go. All right, secondly, let me speak to the non-Christian. Allow godly music to reach your heart for God. I could talk about it. I just wanted to share with you some songs from our hymnal. A Sinner Like Me by Charles Butler. I was once far away from the Savior, as vile as a sinner could be. I wondered if Christ the Redeemer could save a poor sinner like me. I wandered on in the darkness. Not a ray of light I could see, and the thought filled my heart with sadness. There's no help for a sinner like me. And then, in that dark, lonely hour, a voice sweetly whispered to me, saying, Christ the Redeemer has power to save a poor sinner like me. I listened, and lo, 'twas this Savior that was speaking so kindly to me. I cried, I'm the chief of sinners. Oh, save a poor sinner like me. I then fully trusted in Jesus, and oh, what a joy came to me. My heart was filled with his praises for saving a sinner like me. No longer in darkness I'm walking, for the light is now shining on me. And now unto others I'm telling how he saved a poor sinner like me. And when life's journey is over, and the dear Savior shall see, I'll praise him forever and ever for saving a sinner like me. Have You Any Room for Jesus by D.W. Whittle. Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? The refrain is, room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open, bid him enter while you may. Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died? Have you any room for Jesus? As in grace he calls again. Oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow you may call in vain. Room and time now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart left cold and silent, and thy Savior's pleading cease. Look and Live by William Ogden. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. That means praise the Lord. This message unto you I'll give. 'Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. It's not pay your money, jump up and down. Just look and live. The refrain, look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. I have a message full of love, hallelujah, a message, oh my friend, for you. 'Tis a message from above, hallelujah. Jesus said it, and I know 'tis true. Life is offered unto you, hallelujah. Eternal life thy soul shall have. If you'll only look to him, hallelujah, look to Jesus who alone can save. I will tell you how I came, hallelujah, to Jesus when he made me whole. 'Twas believing on his name, hallelujah, I trusted, and he saved my soul. A short one, Come Into My Heart, Lord Jesus, by Harry Dudley Clark. It's a prayer of the repentant sinner. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And then there's a response. Out of my heart, shine out of my heart, Lord Jesus. Shine out today, shine out always. Shine out of my heart, Lord Jesus. Sad When Almost Persuaded by Philip P. Bliss. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, Go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. almost persuaded. Come today. Almost persuaded. Turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. O wanderer, come. O be persuaded. Christ never fails. O be persuaded. His blood avails, can save from every sin, cleanse you without within. Will you not let him in? Open the door. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. Be now persuaded, O sinner, hear. Be now persuaded, Jesus is near. His voice is pleading still. Turn now with heart and will. Peace will your spirit fill. O, turn today. Then kind of a tough one, God's Final Call by John W. Peterson. Doesn't mince words. It warns the sinner, someday you'll hear God's final call to you to take his offer of salvation true. This could be it, my friend, if you but knew. God's final call. God's final call. How can you live another day in sin, thinking someday with Christ you will begin? Oh, will you hear above the world's loud din God's final call? God's final call? If you reject God's final call of grace, you'll have no chance your footsteps to retrace. All hope will then be gone, and doom you'll face. Oh, hear his call, God's final call. Pretty good gospel in there. And then I would say to everyone, use godly music to direct you to spiritual things. The great hymn writer Charles Wesley wrote this poem, listed, meaning enlisted, into the cause of sin, why should a good be evil? Music, alas, too long has been pressed to obey the devil. Drunken or lewd or light, the lay, the song, flowed to the soul's undoing, widened and strewed with flowers the way down to eternal ruin. He says, let's not leave music for the devil's work. Do you know that God invented singing? Man didn't invent it. God invented it. We find this in Job 38, verses 4 through 7. God is speaking to Job about, you know so much. He says, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding, if you knowest understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations, the sockets thereof fastened? How did I sink this into the water? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Morning stars here are a synonym for the sons of God, referring to the angels. They sang together. Before man stood, was created, the angels sang. Where did they learn that? They were created by God. God himself sings. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest or be silent in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Can hardly wait to hear that. I bet he's a bass. Always been a tenor. Always wished I was a bass. I think we can say that God invented musical instruments. The hint of that is in Ezekiel 28, speaking of Satan before he fell, when he was an angel of light. God says to him there, thou hast been, verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, or the ruby, topaz, diamond, the beryl, or chrysolite, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, or the chrysoprase, and the carbuncle and gold. He says, you were gorgeous, covered with all these beautiful things. Then he says, the workmanship of thy tabrets, that's the tambourine, and of thy pipes. Now, the interpreters have come around that this doesn't stand for the flute pipes. But I don't know, it's what else do you link with tambourine, you know? And of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Now man followed with other instruments, Genesis 4:21, and his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. And so those who came about early on in the history of humanity came about. I believe that singing was first. I think that would be the natural beginning to man's use of music. And then as they found this thing and that thing, maybe the bow and arrow, bong. They tried different bows, boom, 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 boom. And I don't know, but you know, they strung it up and make a harp and all these things. singing is first. I was looking for a definition of singing. And the one that I liked the best was that singing is human speech taken to a high emotional level. I that felt right to me. That if you were to speak with high emotion, you would end up with some kind of singing. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was talking about this, and he quoted Martin Luther, and he cautioned us. He says, now, Martin Luther had some very strong views here. But here's Martin Luther. He said, one of the finest and noblest gifts of God is music. This is very hateful to the devil. And with it we may drive off the temptations and evil thoughts. After theology, I, Martin Luther, give the next place and highest honors to music. It has often aroused and moved me so that I have won a desire to preach. We ought not to ordain young men to the office of preacher if they have not trained themselves and practiced singing in the schools. That's how strongly he felt. Well, Spurgeon was quick to add, that's pretty strong. I fear many would not have been preachers if they must first have been singers. But I think, as I've shown from our own hymnal in the A's at least, that many preachers have indeed taken pen in hand to write poems that became hymns or have written hymns outright. Let us use music as God uses it. You may devour it upon your own lusts. You may excuse it in any way you want. But God invented music, and very likely instruments to accompany it, and has his purpose. If you ask yourself, deep within your heart, what does this music do to me? Does it deepen my reverence? Does it focus my attention on God? Let's think of God's use of music. Elisha, the great prophet, said, okay, if I'm going to have to do God's work here, send me a minstrel. Let me calm myself down here. Let's focus on the things of God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we recognize that music is a very personal thing. It's very likely that some will detect in the preaching an attack on their favorite music. And of course, that's not my intention. But I ask, Father, that you might help us to question ourselves, not just have the preacher question us. Help us, Father, to recognize that when we are sensually aroused by music, that we're not being led by thy Spirit. Help us then to be cautious what we give ourselves unto. Paul tells us that if we give ourselves to something, we become his slaves. Help us not to be a slave of the music that drives us to sensuality and sensual thought. With heads bowed, eyes closed, perhaps you're saying, I didn't realize God was so interested in or had such purposes in music. But seeing that, I would like to dedicate and offer up my choice of music to God. I will choose to listen, restrict as much as I am allowed, music to that which will enhance me spiritually, help me to grow. If that's your prayer, I wonder if you'd slip your hand up, say, pray for me. I need God's help in this thing. Yes, amen. I need God's help to change my heart, to change what I like, to change what I choose to give myself to. Pray for me. Father, then we seek to bow before you, to offer to you anything and everything that can be of help to you and help to us. We know, Father, that it is not my place as a preacher to tell people what they can and cannot listen to. In fact, Paul says that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. He said he would not be brought under the power of anything. And Father, help us to be sensitive to that, to recognize that the world's music sometimes has a dominating effect and takes us over. Help us to set that aside. If it's as dear to us as our right eye, if it's as dear to us as our right hand, let us set it aside that we might be more for thee. We thank you for the hands that are raised, and we pray thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.